Amen. Boys and girls, if you are here today, I invite you to come forward, and we're going to talk to you a little bit about what the message is all about. Do we have any boys and girls here today? We have a very special treat for you today. I have something very special in my bag here today. Can any of you guess what it is? Can you guess? It is bread. Very good bread. You maybe smelled some bread here today. Did you smell bread when you walked in today?
No.
You didn't? Just smell. You can almost imagine it, right? Oh, okay. Well, you are in for a surprise. There is some bread being baked because today we're talking about the bread of life. Did you know that Jesus said, "I am the bread of life"? What do you think he meant by that? Do you know what he meant by when Jesus said, "I am the bread of life"? Let's talk about that. Why do we eat bread?
It's healthy.
It's healthy? Yeah? Yeah, what else? You can make toast with it. Yeah, there's a lot of things you can do with that. I actually like bread pudding. Yeah, that's good, I think. But there's a bigger reason why we eat bread, because it keeps us alive, right? Can you imagine if we didn't have any bread and nothing to eat? We'd be very, very hungry. Well, Jesus said, "I am the bread of life," and he was talking about food for not just our bodies, but for our souls. And so he was like saying, this is a picture, just like bread makes you strong and gives you life and keeps you alive. So if you come to me, says Jesus, I will make sure that you have life, not just for today, but forever and ever. So bread satisfies our tummies. Jesus, the bread, satisfies our soul. Bread gives us physical life. Jesus' body, Jesus is the bread that gives us life forever. So, you know, you imagine if you're hungry and you're holding this loaf of bread. Is it going to help you just to hold it? What do you have to do?
Eat it.
Eat it. It's only going to be good if you eat it, right? And then your body will say, "Ah, thank you." And then you can run and play, and you're so satisfied. And that's what Jesus says too. If you come to me, you need to believe in me. And that's what Jesus wants us to do, to believe in him. So we can pray that he will do that. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to say our blessing, and then you can go to Children's Church, and we're so glad that you are here today. And then after the service, in addition to some candy that you get now just to help a little bit, but there's also some bread that we're going to serve to you to help remember what we learned today. Okay? Let's fold our hands and close our eyes. Dear Jesus, thank you that you satisfy us deep inside, that you love us and give us everything that we need. Everything. Thank you that you give us life forever. You give it to anyone who believes in you. So please remind us the next time that we eat bread that you are the even better bread, the bread of life. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's say our blessing together. Congregation, you can join us in this if you want. So may your words, O Lord, be always on our mind, on our lips, and deep in our hearts.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
All right. Grab a couple of pieces of candy. Bless you. I'm glad that you guys are here today. All right, if you would turn to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. The last time I met, we were in Ecclesiastes, and now we're going to start the I Am statements, where Jesus is giving a little bit picture of himself, learning, or teaching us to know a little bit better who Jesus really is and what he claims to be and do for us. Today we're going to talk about he calls himself the bread of life. And then we're going to go on to he's the light of the world, the gate for the sheep, the good shepherd, the resurrection and the life, the way and the truth and the life, and the true vine. So these are all statements that Jesus says, I am. In these snapshots, we learn something about the true man, Jesus. And yet there's something far deeper that's going on here. We are not just learning about who Jesus was back then, like some historical figure. But when Jesus says, I am, he's taking us back to Exodus 3, when he introduced himself to Moses in the burning bush. And God, you know, had this conversation with Moses, go to Egypt and tell him, let my people go. And he says, well, what can I say? Who do I say sent me? Like, I mean, why are they going to believe me? And he says, well, go and tell them I am who I am. So when Jesus says, I am, he's claiming to be the eternal God. He's the voice that came out of the burning bush that spoke to Moses. And this is a very holy name, I am. It's so holy, in fact, that when the Jewish people saw it in the Old Testament, they would not say Yahweh, that was the name I am. But they would say Adonai instead, because they did not want to utter this holy name. So we see that he is the eternal God. That's who Jesus is claiming to be. But there's also something going on here, and I wanted to just give a little bit of a setting before we jumped into it, because I think it's important. In the book of John, Jesus is constantly on trial, right? And what we're going to find with these I am statements is that as each one continues, the opposition to him are going to grow fiercer and stronger until they actually say, crucify him. So the people who encountered Jesus the first time said, who is this man? Jesus even asked his disciples, who do you say I am? So the questions that I want to be percolating in the back of our minds, in my mind as I prepare, and our minds as we listen and look into the text together is, do I believe that Jesus is who he claimed to be? And if Jesus is who he claimed to be, what difference does that make in my ordinary, everyday life? So, as we come to this text in John chapter 6, we're going to see that the misunderstanding that people had, and this has been going on before chapter 6, like in chapter 2, Jesus said, I am the temple. You destroy the temple and I will raise it up in 3 days. And they said, how can you possibly do that? That's John chapter 2. And chapter 3, there was another misunderstanding. Nicodemus came to Jesus and said, and Jesus said, you must be born again. And Nicodemus said, what? I have to be rebirthed? Be a baby all over again? Jesus said, no, you misunderstand me. I'm spiritually speaking here. The woman in the well, John 4. Jesus said, you're thirsty? Drink of me, and you'll never thirst again. And she says, I want that kind of water. Give that to me. And Jesus was like, no, you misunderstood me there. We're going to see a little bit of misunderstanding going on again today. So in a summary, we're not going to go over, I wish I had time to go over this whole chapter. I'll direct you to listen to Alistair Begg has a series on this. If you go to Truth for Life and you listen to it, he did this in 5 weeks. So you can go and get some background for it, but the first part of it is the actual feeding of the 5,000, where the miracle happened, the people saw it and responded to it, and they wanted at that point to make him king, and Jesus said, not going to do that, because I'm not going to be the kind of king that you want. So he sent his disciples off, and then he caught up with them, walked on water. And that's that second part of John. And then about in verse 3, this is the part that we'll be covering today. It's going to be teaching about the bread of life. And then sadly, the fourth part of it is that because of what Jesus proclaimed, many stopped following Jesus Christ. So with that overview, we're going to dig into it now. I know it's a large meal to digest, but like a good parent, I'm inviting you, his children, please taste everything, okay? Just take a sample, a little bit of everything, and it'll be good for us. So hear the word of the Lord from John chapter 6, beginning at verse 25. If you're following along, you can find it on page 1657 in the Pew Bibles. If you brought your own Bible, you're on your own to find it there. Verse 25, this is when they came back from the lake. When they found him on the other side of the lake, the crowd asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" And Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, you're looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Then they asked him, "What must we do to do the works of God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this: believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, "Well, what sign then will you give us that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? See, our ancestors ate manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, it's not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "always give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, and you have seen me, and you still do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up in the last day." Now I'm just going to have you drop down to verse 47. Focusing on the bread of life, "Very truly," Jesus said, "the one who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, and yet they died. But here is the bread that has come down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Congregation of Jesus Christ, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In the season of Lent, sometimes we give up stuff and say, "I need to stop." And when you do that, you probably get this moment where you're like, if you're like, "Okay, I'm going to cut out the carbs," and you're like, "Man, I'm really hungry. I don't know if you really know what it is, if we know really what it is to be hungry. Not too many of us were around at the time of depression where it was subsistence living. You just, whatever you grow, you're going to eat. That's going to have to give you through the winter. And if you couldn't plant and harvest a crop, you were in dire straits and really had to scrape. I hear stories about people like boiling water and putting cabbages in there just a little bit, and that was your soup, and that's what you had for the day. I don't know what that's like. My mom always said, you're putting way too much jam on your bread. In the war, you would have enough there for 10 pieces of bread. And I would, of course, in my teenage wisdom, said, Mom, I'm not in a war, and I like jam. Well, if you have seen the images of people who are starved, haunted a little bit by the images we see from Gaza in the war there. There was a satellite image that I saw a couple months back of people raiding the food truck, and from the satellite, it looked like ants just coming there, just mobbing, because if we don't get this relief food, our family's going to die. Now, that's a hunger that I don't know. And I'm just acknowledging that up front. Those who were following Jesus Christ were desperate for what they didn't really know. Jesus had fed them with limited resources, the miracle of the 5,000. It was a great thing to experience. And now it's morning, the day after. And guess what? They're hungry again. They searched for Jesus. They weren't searching for him to thank him for that wonderful meal. They were not wanting to learn more about him, but they were fixated on that. If Jesus, can you imagine if we don't have to just follow you around from place to place, but if you just give us the power to have bread any time that we want, that's what we want you to do for us. Okay, we can question their motives now, but remember, they were very hungry. They were subsistence people too. This sounded like a great idea to them. Let's talk about being hungry. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never grow thirsty. Now, if we go to a restaurant and eat, I'm going to harp on our theme here a little bit, but sometimes we'll order a nice steak, and they may bring out salad as a first course and maybe some rolls of bread. And I'm getting hungry just thinking about that. But that's not our main course. That's just the preparation for it. But the bread that Jesus is talking about is more. If you could find in that day, in Jesus' day, with that crowd, a little piece of meat or fish with some dates to eat, well, that was a luxury. They need bread to live. See, bread represents that which satisfies our hunger. They ate and were satisfied. That was yesterday. Today, they're hungry again, so naturally, they went to find Jesus. Jesus knows their hearts. He has an incredible way. It's like I'm looking to read the Word of God to find something in there to fill me, and then I find out that the Word of God is actually reading me. The Bible knows me very well. Jesus knows me very well. He fed the hungry crowd with food, and he said, you're looking for me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. And then he gives this warning, do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures for everlasting life, which the Son of God will give you. Because God, the Father, has placed his seal of approval on him. You look back at verse 15 of chapter 6, if you still have your Bibles open, they wanted to force Jesus In verse 15, to be king, Jesus saw that, and that's why he dismissed the crowd and told his disciples to go and left. Because Jesus sees their motives and discerns their true need is not bread or fish. No. What they need more than anything else, what they really want, what they really need, what they hunger for really deep down inside is to know Jesus Christ. And they said to him, and now you look at verse 28, what are the works you're referring for us to do? Tell us and we'll do it. That's an empty promise. Jesus, if you do this for me, then I will. Isn't that how we usually bargain with Jesus? I do. Jesus said, I'm going to give you something very simple. This is the work. It's the salvation is not about what we do, but about what we receive. And so all you need to do is believe. Believe in the one who God has sent. So in other words, believe in Jesus. And they pressed him, well, what sign will we give? We want to believe in you, Jesus, but how can we know for sure that you are who you claim to be? What will you do to help us believe in you? Are you for real? You see, way back then in our history, Moses gave manna from heaven for us to eat, for the ancestors to eat. Now, every good Jewish boy and girl knows about Moses leading the people in the wilderness, and when there was no food, God provided miraculous food, manna. Manna literally means, what is it? They woke up, what is it? Eat it. It's good. And they had to depend on God day in and day out. See, they believed that Moses provided the manna. But Jesus corrected them and said, no, it was the Father. It was I am who provided this for you. Only God provides the manna from heaven. Only God gives living and life-sustaining bread. Now, I'm not really talking about bread here, am I? They heard this and they said, sir, always give us this bread. Of course. They ate and ate, but they were never fully satisfied. They were sort of, if you've ever watched Pirates of the Caribbean, they were like Captain Barbossa's crew. You know, the crew of the Black Pearl, no matter how much they ate, they were never satisfied. As soon as they put a morsel of food in their mouth, it disintegrated into ash and it was nothing. They were always, always hungry. It's kind of a picture of hell, really. Never, ever satisfied. What a fitting description of life without Christ. Seeking happiness, but never finding true joy. Do you ever play those games? I do all the time. I have to correct myself. If I had this, then. And you fill in the blank. What is that this for you? What is it that you are really longing for and hungering for? What do you think will truly satisfy you? I'm here today to say that only God is going to give us what we need to have our souls satisfied. In the wilderness, way back then, people were always grumbling. Grumbling because what we have, we're never quite satisfied with. The bread that God gives is manna from heaven. Being hungry, now let's talk about being fed. Jesus said, I am the one who has come down from heaven. That's the theme of John. It began way in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among men. Jesus is the very one sent down from heaven. Maybe today you ask, how do we go about receiving the benefits of this living bread? In verse 61, look down at 61, the other I am the living bread statement. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, they will live forever. And the bread I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of this world. Now, remember, they misunderstood. Jesus was not talking about literally eating him. That's maybe some of the misconceptions. Early Christians were often accused of being cannibals because of their Lord's Supper. Well, Jesus, the living bread, yes, the bread symbolizes Jesus Christ, but it's not about taking Jesus Christ and the bread being the literal body of Christ. This is where the Reformed people will differ from the Catholics in those days. That bread is a symbol of Jesus Christ. Well, it didn't make sense to the crowd. How can we enjoy Jesus Christ, the benefits of living bread? There are two important words in our text. Number one is coming. Number two is believing. Whoever comes to me, I'll say it again. Memorize this text this week. Whoever comes to me will never grow hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. These are active words. They describe true faith. I'm not going to start a new series on what is true faith here, but this is what is implied. True faith is a combination of knowing, agreeing, and trusting. You can have the first two, and you're not much better off than a demon. The demons know that Jesus is who he claimed to be. This is what James says. The demons believe that God is real. But that third part, they will not trust in him ever. And that is what the key part is. That's what Jesus is aiming for here. To be sure, those coming to Jesus must know that Jesus is who he claimed to be, God in the flesh. But what is required then is full and absolute surrender to him. This is key. Don't let this pass. This is key. Complete, total surrender of our lives to God. God's ways must be more and more our ways. The love of God must be more and more our love. God's mission must more and more become our mission. Not what I want, Lord, but what you want. God's people must more and more become our people. Without that last part, we miss the whole point of this I am statement. Goes back to what John said in 1 John. It all tied together. If you believe in the name of Jesus Christ and receive him, you have the right to become a child of God. So surrender to him everything, everything. Give it to him. Many people in this crowd wanted Jesus to give them what they thought would satisfy, kind of treating Jesus like a genie, you know? You get three wishes. You ever played that game? If I had a genie and I could have anything I want, what would I ask for? Well, I would ask for two things that I think I need, money, health, and then my third wish would be for three more wishes so that I could get more things. That doesn't work that way. Pharisees, they were very close. They knew it all. They were the best Bible students around. You would want them on your Bible quiz team anytime because they could pick up an answer. You give them a phrase, they knew right where to find it. They had Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus all memorized, but they did not know that in Genesis, Exodus, and Leviticus, it was pointing to Jesus Christ, and there Jesus was right in front of them, and they could not put their faith in him. The primary food comes through Jesus Christ, the bread of life. When the word is faithfully proclaimed and obeyed, when Jesus is acknowledged as Lord, that's when true and living faith is expressed. So I call to you in the words of Isaiah of old, come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. You who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread and your labors on what does not satisfy? Isaiah's not talking about physical bread and water here. He's talking about that spiritual side. Listen, he says, listen to me. Eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fares. And the question I ask today is, will you come to the water and drink? Will you have your thirst quenched? Will you eat what is truly good and satisfying today? Don't neglect the opportunity to come and feast on his word. We can pray with Bernard of Clairvaux, Psalter hymnal number 307. O Jesus, joy of loving heart, the fount of life, the light of men, from fullest bliss the earth imparts, we turn unfilled to you again. That needs to be our posture. And he goes on to say, we taste of you the ever-living bread and long to feast upon you still. We drink of you the fountainhead, our thirst to quench, our souls to fill. Finally, let's talk about being full. Only Jesus can satisfy and nourish our spirits. Only Jesus can give us life. When humble sinners come to Jesus Christ and believe in him, they will be satisfied. And whoever eats the bread of life, this is the promise, you will find life, a full life, an abundant life. See, God will give us what we need for every trial that he calls on us to endure. We must come to the cross. At the cross of Jesus Christ, where the great I am left the splendor of heaven, willingly gave his life. And there was an exchange that took place on that cross where Jesus took all of our sins onto himself. He said, bring it to me. I will take that. I will stand in your place and I will die for you. And in exchange, he also then gave to us sinners his righteousness. That's the gospel message. We are crucified in Christ on that cross. In his death, we die to ourselves and live for him. When he was buried, our old nature was buried in that tomb. This is where it gets really, the gospel can't get more clear or explicit. Jesus died. Our sins were buried in that tomb. And when Jesus rose, he came up. Our old nature is still crucified. Yes, we're still sinners. Yes, God still needs to give us life every day because we wouldn't do it on our own. But our identity is as children of that Heavenly Father. Hallelujah. In Christ, we will live because he lives. It's sort of like branches on the tree. That's going to be our final I am statement from John chapter 15, the branch that's connected to the vine. Our life source comes not from ourselves. We are dead branches until we are connected to Jesus Christ, and he gives us life. And whoever eats the bread of life has continual life. I wonder if it's true of your life. If it's not, if you have any questions about that, maybe I don't explain this very well, ask, please. But don't be like the crowd who came to Jesus and had the offer of life but refused because what they wanted was just bread to get them by to the next day. So if Jesus is not your Savior and Lord, then turn in repentance. Give up your trust in yourself. Let it go. Come to Jesus Christ, the bread of life. Believe that he is the great I am. And I promise you that your soul will be satisfied. It is very sad, and we don't have time to go into this. Again, I listened to Alistair's fifth sermon on this topic. After hearing this, many grumbled. Many of those who were following him deserted him. May that not be said of us, brothers and sisters. Let us not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give us. How about the next time that you're hungry, the next time you want to eat some bread, you maybe remember, Jesus is the bread that satisfies my soul and gives life forever. The invitation is for all of us, come, taste, and see that the Lord is good. Amen.